We'll electrify you with the February 29 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the leap year edition of the Rain Report. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. If you run the rain report on your repeater or simplex net, and you are of course free to do so, we recommend that you subscribe to the free rain podcast. You'll receive these weekly programs automatically and won't be scrambling last minute to download them. See therainreport.com for details. RFI, radio frequency interference, can make monitoring your favorite part of the RF spectrum a frustrating experience. Yes, the design and manufacturing of radios and televisions has improved over the decades, but not nearly enough. Technology notwithstanding, there are still plenty of RF sources that might be generating all that racket right where you live. Dennis Moriarty, K8AGB, should know. Dennis spent more than 30 years investigating customer complaints referenced to radio and television interference for American Electric Power. According to Moriarty, SCR dimmers are just one of the many culprits.
In this room right here, I'm seeing these chandeliers. These are incandescent bulbs, but they're on dimmers. The SCR dimmers that are on the walls are actually AC to DC converters, and we're putting half-wave DC on these incandescent bulbs. Incandescent bulbs don't care whether it's AC or DC. But the SCR dimmer will make noise, and the noise intensity and frequency varies as the dimmer is adjusted. So now you want to have a nice romantic atmosphere, so you replace the incandescent bulbs with the little neon bulbs that flicker, the little glow tubes that flicker. They themselves make noise, sitting there flickering for you. So if you have a chandelier full of flicker lamps and an SCR dimmer, you've got a double whammy there that's going to make noise when the light is on as the dimmer intensity changes. Had a case of trouble one time where the lady said, "We only have interference in the daytime. After dark, the interference goes away." I'm thinking, a pattern. I was there in the daytime. Did my investigation work. Sure enough, it was in their home. What it was a little bathroom nightlight with a little photocell on it. Probably not the best quality, but it did the job. All right, one of these throwaway kind. But as it got dark inside the home and the nightlight switched over, once it switched over and the bulb came on, the interference went away. But the clue was it fit a lifestyle, someone's lifestyle. Those of you who live in the rural areas, which may be wonderful for ham radio, you may have oil furnaces. The igniters on your oil furnaces, if they get contaminated every time the furnace runs, that's a clue. Every time the furnace runs, we have noise. Oh, in the summer months, we don't have the noise, but in the winter time, we have noise whenever the furnace runs. Have your furnace serviceman clean the igniters that ignite that fuel oil. They get contaminated, and they sit there and they arc. Of course, it's the arc that ignites the fuel oil, but they can continue to arc even though the fuel oil is burning. Those of you who have air conditioning or electrostatic filters on your furnace for either heating or cooling, that's the unit that has the wires in and the high-voltage power supply. Again, the clue is, you notice every time the furnace comes on or every time the air conditioning comes on, we hear noise. Again, a lifestyle, a clue. So now you have the furnace serviceman thoroughly clean those little wires in there, and that interference will go away. In Ohio, there was a period of time where septic systems had agitators, motors that really stirred up the crap. And these were normally set on timers. There was a series of them, a manufacturer series of them, that when they ran, they generated noise. They're not installed anymore, but there's still some of those out there. But again, it fit in with a definite lifestyle in that home. Some of your cities have fire alarm call boxes, and they operate in the 72 to 74 megacycle band. Had a case in Findlay, Ohio, where the fire department called and said, "Can you help us?" And of course, the man who was working with me, that was where you needed a frequency-conscious AM receiver. And he tunes. Sure enough, there's this carrier. But as he listened, he heard voices. He's doing his direction finding, and he gets stronger and stronger and stronger. He ended up going to a schoolhouse where they were using wireless microphones. The teachers had wireless microphones for classroom instruction. But this particular unit was radiating, probably a 48, 49 megacycle unit that had some birdies in it and was radiating in the 72 megacycle band. That was an appliance from the school that was causing a problem to a public safety agency. I've run into grow lamps. You ladies and some fellows have grow lamps on your begonias and your violets and things like that. Some of these grow lamps will make noise because some of them are actually a fluorescent light, and fluorescent lights will indeed make some noise. There was a period of time when refrigerators had butter keepers in the doors, a little compartment that was actually a heating element and a thermostat that kept the butter warm. It kept it soft so that you could spread that butter or margarine easy. This heating element had a thermostat, and it would cycle off and on and off and on. I found a lot of garages having refrigerators to keep the beverages cool. The butter keepers weren't in use anymore, but they were making noise.
You're listening to the second excerpt from a 2002 Dayton Hamvention talk by Dennis Moriarty, K8AGB, who spent more than 30 years investigating customer complaints referenced to radio and television interference for American Electric Power. We'll be right back after I remind you that the Rain Report was subsidized during February by the North Shore Radio Club and its NS9RC analog and D-Star repeaters, serving Chicago and beyond.
You might find an old carbon filament light bulb someplace in somebody's attic or somebody's fruit cellar. If you find it, try to get it from them. Don't destroy it because it's a collector's item. You can see this filament in it and it glows kind of an orangey glow to it. The glass envelope has been evacuated out the top, and they are a collector's item, but they make broadband noise. Just a zzzz all the time. Broadband. There's also problems that are going to be new in your neighborhood. So now, after you hear all this stuff on your radio, you take the battery unit or a portable radio that's got the aircraft band in it, and you want to do some detective work in your own house. I've already alluded to how you do that. First place you start is your main entrance. Pull the disconnect. For you see, this type of appliance noise does not pass through the transformer in your neighborhood. If it's coming into your house on the AC line, the suspects will be somebody served by that green can hanging up on the pole, or the green box in your backyard that if you have an underground service. It doesn't matter if it's overhead or underground. If the noise is propagating up and down the service wires, it will not pass through the windings of the transformer. If it's coming in on your antenna, now your antenna, if you have a beam antenna, you're going to be able to do some direction finding, and it may be half a mile away, depending on the frequency and the gain of your antenna. So you check your own house. You hope that you have a good rapport with your neighbors. So you take the portable radio and you start walking up and down the street. You may even drive around in your car. The closer you get to the source, the louder it's going to get. If you could tune up to like 220 megacycles on AM, you could get within one house or one electric pole. That's how the propagation works at that frequency. 220 megacycles, the radiation distance is relatively short, so you can start doing real good pinpointing, but you may not have a receiver that covers that band. So you take your 130 megacycle radio, you go around the neighborhood. As I mentioned, if you walk past somebody's house and it gets stronger or louder, you have to remember about the wires overhead that are going into your neighbor's house because they're part of the antenna. You might even walk up to your neighbor's house holding this little radio, and you walk up to their house and it's really getting loud. And you're getting excited and you think, okay, it's in Joe's house. But you better make sure before you accuse Joe. If it's this thermostat noise, this rhythmic noise, bzzz, bzzz, as you walk up to the electric meter at Joe's house, now remember you're getting closer to the antenna, look at that little disc on his kilowatt hour meter. And if that little disc has a little jump to it, just a quick little nudge, a quick little jump, every time you hear noise on the radio, if that little disc makes a little jump, then indeed you found the source. Now you find out if Joe is having the same problem you're having. Probably he's not a radio ham, but maybe he's trying to listen to an AM station out of Canada or something like that. Or maybe he has a TV antenna and he has interference. So now you're going to help him. You're going to share with Joe and be the detective. And Joe's going to thank you for cleaning up the noise, and you go back home, and ham radio is nice and clean. You may have problems outside of the home that are coming from business or industry. And again, it's the same process. You're driving up and down the street, you're going around the corner in your figure eight or four-leaf clover arrangement, and the closer you get to that factory, the louder the noise is. And you go right up, and you knock on the door, and you take the radio with you. And you explain to whoever the plant engineer is or the plant manager that there is a problem in their facility that needs looked at. Now, all these appliances that I've mentioned are operating safely. They're not going to cause a fire to anybody, but they're generating noise, which is considered incidental radiation. And the FCC is opposed to that, and rightfully so. So there are some things about household interference that you may find in your home, you may find in the neighbor's home, you may find in your neighborhood. Working for the electric utility, I had access to people's backyards, to rear lot lines, so I could walk up and down the back lots in people's backyards and was able to pinpoint where these sources were coming from. You won't have that freedom normally. So now you've got to be up and down the street, in the back alleys, and do a little more detective work, check with the neighbors, and you're going to find if you're having some interference problems, probably your neighbors are hearing buzzes and noises that they can't account for either.
And that concludes our second excerpt from a 2002 Dayton Hamvention presentation by Dennis Moriarty, K8AGB, who spent more than 30 years investigating customer complaints reference to radio and television interference for American Electric Power. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2008. Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.